You're listening to 100.9 FM right here on Noongar Radio. Good to be with you on this particular day. And if you'd like to be a part of programming, and if you want to talk to us on Noongar Radio, you can. You can drop us a text line on 0448 21186. That number again is 0448 21186 for more information. And our text lines have been busy from time to time, so you may have a question you'd like to ask us right here at Noongar Radio, and feel free to do that. Hey, this is Health Matters. Good to be with you. And Noongar Radio also not only here, broadcasting here in Perth, but broadcasting right across Australia as well on our network of stations as well on the 2nd of May 2018. Well, the subject we're going to raise today is midwifery. Now, I don't know if I've said that right or not, but what is a midwife and midwifery, what people do in the profession, and some of the things we need to ask about that, the work that they do, and the importance of the work that they do. And Rakesha Eads, yes, good to be with you on Noongar Radio.
Yes, you too, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you do, and when it comes to working with midwives and midwifery.
Yeah, so currently I'm the Aboriginal Liaison Officer at King Edward Hospital, and I work in with the medical team, so midwives, doctors and other allied health staff at the hospital, and with families, yeah.
And Rakesha, did I say midwifery right?
It's midwifery.
Midwifery. I knew there was something there. And thank you very much for clarifying that. But as well as an Aboriginal person, it's really important. And what sort of information that you assist with some of the patients that are coming in to the hospital? Because it is a frightening environment, no doubt. Hospitals.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all depends on the patient. Everyone are coming there. For different needs as well. We do have women's issues as well, and we do have babies in our neonatal intensive care unit. So it all depends on the needs of the families, but I'm there to help support, provide cultural support, and help those families navigate their way around our hospital.
And it's about education and information, is navigating yourself, helping yeah. people through the process, and because sometimes, as I say, it could be a scary situation having to go to a hospital, and also a confronting situation, confronting
yes.
situation, but having you there is an important
yeah.
process, isn't it?
It is, and I take yeah. my role and, you know, my work there quite seriously. We do have a lot of women that come in from, you know, rural and remote communities. You know, they come from communities where the majority of the population are Aboriginal people, so for me to come in and be able to be that, that support, you know, that yeah, Aboriginal yeah. support is very important.
And tell us about the conduit that you do for the, you know, like say for instance for the working with the midwives and the importance of them learning processes of what you know from your cultural background and your experience.
Yeah, look, I do help support, you know, the midwives, but also more so the families as well, if they're having meetings with medical staff, helping the families understand, you know, information sometimes that come out in those meetings. Yeah.
Beautiful, yes. And, of course, Trish, nice to be having you on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit of, I must tell you about country too as well. We do, First Nation people, we do, what we normally do is, we do a welcome to country here. And of course, from the Eads family as well, and other families, the Garlett families, other families, we're all connected to country, and, you know, we respect this country that we come on, and Kaya Wanju. And, that's one of the things we normally say. But of course, Trish, you do have Aboriginal ancestry too.
Yeah, I do. So my Palawa, so I'm from, my family's from Tasmania, from Wynyard, Burnie. And I identify as being an Aboriginal person, and I'm quite passionate about Aboriginal maternity health.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about where you work and and the work that you do?
I work at King Edward. I'm a midwife, and I work up in mostly up on the postnatal wards and down in the clinics. And I dabble a little bit in university work, teaching at Notre Dame and Curtin University.
And what has attracted you to that?
For me, I didn't find out I was Aboriginal until I was about 18. And I thought I didn't become a midwife till later in life because both my children had heart surgeries. But then when I kind of went to find, was studying, I found out how we have such issues in Aboriginal health. I just thought it was my time to step up and be a role model for my community and in and make a difference. And one of those ways is through being a midwife at the hospital.
Yeah, and how have you been, again, you've mentioned that you, from assisting people, there is well the Aboriginality aspect when it comes to talking to Aboriginal people. It changes the dimension, doesn't it? And people start to sort of talk to you and they feel a little bit open, don't they?
They absolutely do. Like, I suppose when we relate back to country, where we're from, and tie in our families, people tend to then complace where I'm from. I suppose I have a bit of a difference in viewpoint because I look Wadjila. I'm not, I don't outwardly look Aboriginal, but I identify as being an Aboriginal person and I'm quite strong in that in my community and people around me in the community know who I am.
Yeah. The lovely Heather. Hello, how are you?
Hello, welcome. Thank you.
The lady with the radio voice.
Oh. Midwifery voice, I hope.
Midwifery voice, is it? Get this.
Calming.
It's got to be more calming, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
And tell me a little bit about you. And, you know, why did you get into midwifery?
Into midwifery.
Yeah.
I'm originally from the UK, and I married an Australian, and I call Australia home now. I've always wanted to be a midwife. Remember seeing midwives in the community growing up, and I've always been passionate about health, especially health for women and their families. And I now work at King Edward with Rikisha and Trish, and I'm one of the senior midwives there.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about the car in the background. Tell me about the things that you know you do at King Edward, and some of the aspects of, I suppose, telling people what they actually do within the hospitals, and you know when they get into a position of being a midwife. What are some of the aspects, the first parts of going into education and all that?
It's interesting you bring that up because this Saturday is International Day of the Midwife, and it's always a great time to encourage anyone who's interested in midwifery to think about it. It's a wonderful profession. And I strongly advise anyone who is interested to contact their teachers or the universities. There's also the Health Department website where you can find more information about becoming a midwife, or in fact speak to any midwives in your community. We would love more cultural diversity in our profession. We would like to see more male midwives in our profession. So I couldn't encourage people strongly enough to join us. I've had a wonderful career here and overseas, and I enjoy going to work every day.
And thinking of that, the joy of you know, bringing a child into the world, to assisting with that, and you would have no doubt delivered a few children by now.
Indeed, I have. There are many dimensions to our profession, and it is a joyous time. It's a time when you want to support families and be there for them, and we believe that. We would like to individualise our care that we give to women these days and their families.
And Trish, what are some of the most important things that you have to know when you go into midwifery?
I suppose you have to have a full awareness that midwifery doesn't involve the woman, it involves a whole family unit, and that could be aunties, uncles, other children, stepchildren, and midwifery, yes, we do bring babies into the world and help mothers with that, but it's also about providing antenatal care that involves a woman, providing support, referrals to other areas where we feel the woman may need assistance, and bringing in other support networks to support the family unit.
Let's touch on antenatal care, because there's prenatal care, no doubt. Is that part of your role as well?
My role is, we don't tend to do prenatal care. Prenatal care is obviously before the woman becomes pregnant, and we do encourage women to see their GP before they become pregnant, so there's important things like needing to take folate before they become pregnant and just get a general checkup before they do become pregnant.
And yeah, and the subject of antenatal care, tell us about that and the important process of antenatal care, and that's it is important to follow up all those events which is placed on many of the women.
Yeah, so antenatal care, usually at our hospital, women tend to come for a booking visit quite early, and then they tend to come back to us after they've had their anatomy scan, which is after 20 weeks. The anatomy scan is where they check all the fingers, the toes, the baby's heart, and if they find anything, we'll obviously get notified by the doctors when they'd have their ultrasound. But when they come to us, we're doing things like checking on their general well-being, bloods, checking on the baby's movements, making sure that the woman is socially supported by family and friends. We're also providing any kind of specialised needs that she may need. For instance, if she has diabetes, if she a woman contracts gestational diabetes while she's pregnant, we'll put teams in place to support that woman. So we have a diabetes clinic and doctors who do specialised care for women who end up having gestational diabetes.
And could you just generally explain the gestational diabetes? Because people get quite afraid when something happens like that.
Sure. What happens is, I'll get Heather to help me with this one as well. We tend to do an oral glucose test around 26 weeks, which is like a 3-hour test where they'll have a blood test first and then they'll have a sugary drink, which makes you feel pretty crappy. A lot of women don't feel great after having that. And then they tend to have a blood test 1 hour and then 2 hours post. And so then that gets done and we get sent the results and we get told whether or not the woman is a marker for gestational diabetes. And then we, follow her closely through her pregnancy, and we tend to do more ultrasounds and more specialised care for her.
So that's right, we can then individualise the care that the woman and her baby would need.
Women with gestational diabetes tend to have we need to monitor them a bit more closely because their babies get a bit bigger, and there's an increased risk of stillborn towards the end of the pregnancy.
And Trish, cultural side of things. It's pretty important to sort of let people know about the cultural things, because they're also going into a new domain, new place, and they really need to know what's happening and how these things are happening, what, where, and how, and why. And tell us about how you could.
I will get. It's Rikisha. I will usually get a referral from one of the clinics. If it's the diabetes clinic, so I'll go down. I'll touch base with the patient, introduce myself to her and any family members that she may have there, and what I'll be doing is just, you know, making sure that she is understanding the information, and maybe help with any cultural language barriers. If there's something that I can't, you know, assist with, then that's when I will sort of find out who, you know, the best person in that community or that person's community and work that way.
And Rikisha, tell me about an experience where you have assisted with someone who needed that help, and they needed to understand what's happening around them.
I can't think of something on the top of my head, but
no doubt you would have helped a lot of people.
I definitely would have, yes. But it's all more practical things, like something like the little testing strips, or helping them go down and finding our local chemist, because a lot of the women that are coming in, they're from, you know, rural areas, country areas, and they're not sure of what services or even chemists are in our local area in Subiaco. So, you know, I've assisted women down to the chemist, get a script for them, which is, I think they're usually covered under the national diabetes. So it's something, you know, things as simple as getting those strips so that they can test their sugar levels when they go away from the hospital. And most of the time they're staying at the Aboriginal hostels.
Yeah. And some of these questions we ask, I suppose some of the things that you're dealing with is, to some people it's quite mundane and it's easy. But then again, for people living in a different community, have got different language barriers and a different perspective, it is a bit, it is difficult to navigate through this whole process, even getting a strip. I mean, someone say, oh, well, you just go to the chemist to get one. But no, it's not as easy as that for people of culture and language. How have you helped with your cultural process, you know, being an Aboriginal person? They know you, they can talk to you.
Yeah, look, I mean, they automatically, I get told from other staff as well, like, it's just a different connection, like, that barrier is already gone because I'm an Aboriginal person. Mm. Most times the ladies do feel comfortable, you know, talking and yarning with me. In saying that, I do, you know, I do work on building that rapport with patients as well, you know, gaining their trust. But yeah, look, it is difficult because my background as a Noongar woman is a lot different to, you know, someone from the Kimberley or just say Pilbara, but it is that we still have that common connection as well.
That's right, First Nation connection, and of course, as you said, you would have helped a lot of Aboriginal people. And what are some of the fears? Like, say, for instance, I mean, getting a strip is quite of great importance, I know, but at the same time, to be able to navigate them through what is going on at the moment and putting them into perspective and talking to them would be a lot of speaking and giving them a lot of confidence as well to be at this particular place and the reasons why they're going through this.
It is quite difficult coming and being in Perth. So I, when I do go into appointments with patients, sometimes I do have to be the voice for them, but I also encourage them to, you know, to go away because they usually are staying here and will be back again for another appointment. To go away, you know, have a think about it, the appointment, and if they have any questions, you know, just to write them down and, you know, bring them back to their next appointment for them, you know, to be answered that way.
And what do you think are some of those other questions that people would sort of normally ask, you know? No? So, for instance, there will be a number of questions that people would ask from time to time. They would want to know things a little bit more about the environment and some of the procedures too as well. And maybe we can move over to Trish, some of those fears too as well.
Yeah, I think it's the fear of unknown. Like, my role is to educate and to not just use language, yes, but to use props and pamphlets and video and give women the space as well. From what I've come to learn from my community is that sometimes when you are speaking with Aboriginal family, sometimes they'll nod yes, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they understand what you are saying. They're just being polite. So I find that I need to give time and space and yarn and build a rapport with the women before they can trust what I'm saying.
And of course, you'd find the same situations occurring from time to time, and every hospital when you're dealing with cultural people as well, aren't you?
Yeah, most definitely. And we're very lucky that we have got Rakisha and Trish and other staff members that help and guide us. But I have learnt from working with Trish and Rakisha that to be calm and polite, which we would be to everyone, but to just take our time and allow people to process information, just to give people a bit of time to think about what we've said and allow them the opportunity to have other people with them so that we can all sit together as a team to make a good plan and encourage people to ask questions when they're comfortable.
That's good, Heather, because I was just thinking of that question. I was going to ask that question, you know, how has Rakisha helped in many ways? And that's one of the good things about it is that you it's your dialogue with other staff members too as well. You're learning and you're teaching as well.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. And I feel very supported in having, you know, people like Tricia and Heather and other staff members at the hospital. I feel very comfortable in the environment there.
We're going to go to a music break. Then we'll touch on some of the topics here, and there are other topics we can touch on when it comes to midwifery and also our callers too on 100.9 FM. If anyone has any questions, I'd like to put to the people as well here, 0448 21186. You can do that right here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. And today we're talking about midwifery, and of course we'll talk in depth a little bit more about it, midwifery, the importance of patients coming into the hospital system, to also understanding the system, to know where things are, and cultural understanding is a pretty important thing that we should know, and it should be in many of people's trainings as well. But of course, having an Aboriginal liaison officer working with midwives and doing midwifery is an important role and an important place. Rakesha, tell me a little bit about what you do in working again in a hospital system to assist Aboriginal families who are going through childbirth.
So I work in the social work department at King Edward. Mm. And I provide support to women who are inpatients, mm-hmm. On the wards, and also women that are coming in for their antenatal checks through our outpatient clinics. I also provide support to women who are staying over at Agnes Walsh, which is our accommodation lodge.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's there for women who come from, you know, country areas and are down here for, you know, a long period of time most of the time. They could be here antenatally or even postnatally with preterm babies in our NICU, in the neonatal intensive care unit at the hospital.
And Rakesha, when someone's coming into the hospital, what's the first thing you do and what do you say to them? They're walking, saying hello to you, and yep.
So usually, you know, if I'm just walking around the hospital and I just see another Aboriginal person, I'll smile, say hello, you know, just, and they'll usually generally give me the same greeting back. But if I'm going to meet somebody, you know, I'll go to the ward, I'll introduce myself, you know, tell them who I am, where I'm from, and, you know, just seeing if they need what sort of supports they might need here while they're in hospital or, you know, at an appointment.
Yeah. And, of course, some of the support, Trish, some of the things, it is support for an individual. It is new to go into a new place, a hospital. It's a new environment. And Rakesha, some people are billeted out to different places too as well. They're not necessarily are in a particular home because they've travelled great distances,
mm-hmm, yes.
And would have been in a hostel of some sort.
Yes, definitely.
As well. Yeah. What would you tell them, people?
While they're here, you know, I do understand they're usually here by themselves, so I always tell them, you know, I give them my contact details and I say, you know, if there's anything you need, you know, please contact me. I generally try and touch base with those patients who I know that are staying here. I try and find out if they have, you know, any other family connections down here in Perth and encourage them to, you know, make contact with them there. Yeah.
And that's a really important, that's making him comfortable. That's
yep.
it. Making him feeling a little safe in this environment and that you're there. You
yes.
know, that's absolutely positive as well. Trish, some of the concerns that people face when they travel in these distances as well.
Well, I could imagine it's not just for our Aboriginal women, but also our non-Aboriginal women that come down as well. They're being isolated from family members, and it's a big deal to be down off country as well, down here in Perth, big wide open spaces, to come down to a hospital that's foreign to them, and be away from family. It's a big concern for all women, yeah.
And some of these people, Heather, would have immediate medical needs to, because of the distance of their travel.
Most certainly, and that's why most women come down to King Edward from other places, if they have got specific health needs that we need to attend to.
Mm-hmm. And what would you tell some of the women when they're in this particular environment, when they're coming down here? Because of course, one thing I'm finding is that many would want to know where shops are, where places are, and that initial safeness that people have regarding hospital systems.
Yes, I think the first thing we always do is reassure people, and I think once we've taken care of their obstetric needs or their health needs that have brought them to us, it's very important that we make sure that people are happy and comfortable in our environment, and that is where I do lean very heavily, especially if Aboriginal people have come. We work together very closely with Rikisha, Trish, and we have other staff members also. We can then tell them where things are locally, the resources we have in the hospital. For example, we do have a library, and in the library we have Wi-Fi, so that families can speak to their loved ones through Skype.
Well, you need Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yes, we do. we do have that, which is wonderful for mothers if they've had to leave other children back at home. So these are some of the things that we do have. We do have other services available. We have meeting places for people to get together.
And Heather, how long have you been working as a midwife?
As a midwife, a very long time, over 20 years.
Now, I'm going to ask this question because this is out there, this question. How many of the mothers have contacted you, and you've seen this little toddler running down the hospital, and it must be, there's a place in your heart when that happens, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful feeling. And it is always lovely to see mothers when they come back, especially if they've come back to have another baby, or if they've come in to show you their toddler. And it's really lovely when people, you know, send you photos and updates of their children.
And people have done that?
Yes, they have.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I've always spoken to midwives regarding this, and, you know, the contact that people have, and that's probably one of the many joys of, more than many joys of doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you too, Trish?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny story, just walking into the pet shop just the other week and I was picking up some dog food, and sometimes you don't instantly remember the woman, but the woman remembers you, and I was picking up the dog food and she goes, "You were my midwife." And then as soon as she started chatting to me, she went on to tell me how much an impact I had made as her midwife, and it makes you feel proud because you're playing such a small role in their life.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the birthing suite. Let's talk about a birthing suite. About some of the birthing suite. Let's talk about a birthing suite. What? Let's talk about how we can sort of, you know, people we need to know about what a birthing suite is.
you could bring it back.
Oh, true.
You know what I mean? Going out there for sometimes some people go out for about 10, 15 to 20 minutes or even an hour.
Yeah, that's where they do most of their smoking outside, because there's the next minute they look, the packet's empty, and then all the time's gone out there. You know, it's this time you can't get back, and all that time you could have been inside and helping the kids with homework or doing things like that, you know, that's beneficial for not only for them but for yourself, but for your children in the future, just by having that time with them.
And the addiction is so sort of entrenched in everybody, my wife was offered to deliver in water as well, and there are different types of birthing suites there are. Tell us a little bit about that, and to assist some of the people out in the community regarding birthing suites and what's out there.
Well, we do have a lot of options at King Edward now. Well, one of the things I'd like to talk about first is our continuity of care models, which is something we talk about a lot in midwifery now, which is where you would know your midwife. She would be with you throughout your pregnancy and your birth, and your postnatal period. So this is something that we really encourage, and that's absolutely right. We do have lovely birthing suites at King Edward. We have a family birth centre. We have midwifery group practice and community midwifery programmes available to women.
Tell us about some of those. And you can all jump in here.
Okay. Firstly, I'll talk about King Edward Hospital. Once women have booked at King Edward Hospital and come through the antenatal clinic, they would usually come in to our hospital. Our rooms, they're large now. They're much more comfortable. That's often where women go first, and certainly if there is a reason why they would be in the main hospital, it's the preferred place to be, and there are lots of options there for managing the birth. If women choose to go to the Family Birth Centre, that's a specific standalone unit that we have very close by the main hospital, which is very, very lovely and specific needs. The rooms there are more home-like. There are fewer rooms and
do water births there too.
Do water births there?
Yeah, that's that's another aspect. Yeah. My wife was she was talking about, and they said water birth and of course the other things too as well. Telling people about what you know if they need there's an option when it comes to an epidural. Epidurals are an option as well, or they go through. What's that gas? The nitric oxide.
But if you go to the Family Birth Centre, unfortunately, we can't do epidurals down there because it's a low-risk model. So if the women do choose to have epidural, they'll go up to the main hospital and birth there.
Yeah. The importance is also liaising with the doctors too, as
absolutely.
Well, isn't it? To work out, if a patient wants... an epidural.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's important for the patients too, isn't it?
It is, and that's the whole point of having individualised care, that we can work out exactly what the woman wants, and then we can work out the plan and work towards those goals.
Yeah, and when we look at plans, Trish, everything is different. There might be a different plan for a different person going through a different experience.
And that's the way it should be, because we're all different. We all want different needs and we all have different wants. And we do discuss a birth plan before mums do go into labour, so we're not caught off with any surprises. We do discuss... pain management options. We discuss breastfeeding, which we have a fantastic service at King Edward, which is our breastfeeding centre that women can tap in and use. So we do discuss birth plans and options for our women. Absolutely. Yeah.
And breastfeeding is it's really come back, hasn't it? In when it comes to birthing as well for mothers, and the importance of breastfeeding now, and it's really gained its importance,
absolutely.
Hasn't it?
Yes, yeah. All women are encouraged to, obviously, feeding your baby is your personal choice, and we support personal choice for all women. Breastfeeding is the preferred feeding method for babies. We support and encourage women with their choices by uninterrupted care at birth and early skin-to-skin and early access to the breast.
Yeah, and Aboriginal people, again, the cultural aspect is quite unique in some way too, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just putting the information out there and putting the information across, isn't that right?
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, we tend to, regards to breastfeeding, I would tend to involve the grannies and aunties in the breastfeeding education as well, because it's such valuable information from the families.
And how important is that inclusion, that social inclusion?
Yeah, I think it's, very important, to have all family members involved in the care of the women and, the baby.
And when you look at information, it's pretty well... when you look at general information, I mean, it could be very general when you're looking at cultural processes, but it's right across the board, really, when you look at Aboriginality. It is an important process to decipher and put that information and get that information interpreted as well. And then you've got the other side of the coin is also working with the doctors as well to assist the doctors, and you would have done a lot of that too as well from being a midwife as well, and also as a liaison officer. Tell us about some of those experiences when you were working with the medical team, the doctors.
Yeah, look,
specialists and everything.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, our doctors and our midwives, you know, they're very easy, and you know, to approach and have a talk to them. The ones that I've been involved with, you know, are quite. They want to know how, you know, to better provide a service to Aboriginal women and their families. So they'll come to me and ask me for their support. And I support them the best way I can.
Yeah. And as I say, it's a dual role. You're working with the medical team, you're working with everyone that's in the hospital as well, and bringing those specific points out to the people and to interpret the information, because it's information, and if you don't interpret the information, you get it wrong, you feel uneasy, and you got your patients uneasy, and to bring them back into the space of a hospital is a very good place to be in that particular time. There would be a lot of loneliness as well. That loneliness
definitely.
Where people have travelled, how long would they have to Some have to wait in hospitals.
And the fear, you know, a lot of women are scared, especially going in for emergency procedures. I remember being over at Sir Charles Gardner Hospital one day, and I had a phone call from a doctor back at King Edward, you know, just asking me if I can come back to the hospital to support a patient who, you know, was really scared and was on her own, come a long way from home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just stuff like that, you know. Doctors are going out of their ways to ensure that, you know, our women are feeling, you know, safe and secure.
And it's good, too, that, you know, that conversation, because it needs to be had, a conversation like that. And are you free to, people can ring you at any hospital or?
Look, I try and make myself, you know, very available when I am at work. You know, if it's something that I can do at the time, then yes, I will definitely make, you know, myself available for, you know, a patient or the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Trish, the stay in a hospital, sometimes it could be long, short.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could, it's. Again, those processes of fear as well, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes we have our women who have had issues in their pregnancy, and they end up having to stay on the ward for a long period of time. And then this is when I would encourage, we have our Aboriginal volunteers here at King Edward, and they tend to work on a Wednesday. So I, as much as I'm an Aboriginal woman, I like to involve all Aboriginal staff members in the care of the patients. So we have lovely Shari, who's also an Aboriginal midwife, and we have Janine, who also is our Aboriginal health support officer. So I try to alert if a woman is struggling, and I'll speak to Rikisha and get everyone on board to help support that woman. But our volunteers are quite valuable, and they're just now starting out on a Wednesday.
And what do they do?
Well, they visit the women on the wards. They provide a connection to the hospital. They provide cultural support as well, and they run activities in our Nala Maya room, which is downstairs, which is like a craft room. And this is a place for yarning, sharing stories, and doing artworks together. And we offer this space. It's just a safe space to all be together. And down there. So, yeah, and we also have these deadly packs that we give out to families once they've had their babies and they go home. It's a backpack with support services in there, a teddy bear for the babies, bibs, and it's just easily access for the mums to, if they're having struggles, they can have a look at the backpack, and they've got a pamphlet in there that they can reach out to or contact us back at the hospital.
Yeah. Heather, things have changed over time. You've been in the industry for many years.
I have. It has changed. Women and their babies stay the same, and we always learn from the women that come through the hospital and through our profession, and that's how we improve. And we improve by working together as a team, which I think we do very well. I was reminded earlier of a story of an Aboriginal woman who had come down from the north, and I had failed to realise that she was cold, and Rikisha reminded me that she'd be feeling cold, and I felt terrible at first, and then I used that as an opportunity to open up our conversation. She told me more about her home, so then you can build relationships. But yes, certainly we have changed it, and I hope we continue to improve. I hope we continue to listen to women and what their needs are so that we can specify and improve our service for them.
It is a synergy, what I say. We're talking here. It's a synergy that's there in play, which coming together because there's ideas. And of course, people going into, they're isolated, coming to a particular place as well. But that synergy is the importance, is where you can sit down, you can conversate, you can talk about a conversation. And again, families are really, really important when it comes to this synergy as well, which, for Aboriginal perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very important. And, I've been to a few places, up to the Kimberley a few times, around the Pilbara, some places. So I generally, I'll talk to the ladies, if I know that they're from those areas, and I'll just tell them where I've been and, we'll just have a yarn and try and, if there's, most of the time there's someone we know. So we'll, generally find, that connection there as well.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful way of learning too, this beautiful connection to country and connection of people. And you would have had this experience where, you've seen these toddlers running around and you've go, oh wow, yes, I've seen this, or, saw this child come to birthing, because it's really important too for people to feel that too as well, that, people do care about what is, the family, and respect to country, respect to individuals.
Yeah, definitely. It's very important, and there's nothing, I guess it makes for me, it is difficult at times, but, when we do see those families and those babies, it just makes my job feel, all that rewarding and, makes me feel happy.
What would you tell women who will be listening to the program now? They're probably getting ready to birth, or not only getting ready for birth, but they're pregnant at the moment, and they're Bujari. So what would you tell them?
I would tell them, if they're, coming to King Edward, and if they're needing any support, to come see me, but, talk to the other staff at the hospital as well.
Yeah, and of course, bringing that, that'll be a good way to sort of break the ice for these new mums in the world.
You just need to touch base, talk to your midwife. There's lots of support out here for you, and we welcome you with open arms, and we'll take wonderful care of you. If we can do anything to help, we will. We have wonderful social workers, we have a clinical psychologist, we have even a crèche that your child can go to if you've got toddlers with you. They can stay there while you go for your appointment up to 3 hours, so you can concentrate while you're in an appointment with a midwife or a doctor. But if you don't understand something, please don't be scared. Please speak up, and we'll help you navigate through it.
Yeah, and of course, ultrasound would be one of the key processes, and they'll be first directed to the ultrasound unit to go there and get ultrasound.
Well, as much as I'm a midwife at King Edward, I was sometimes, if we have Aboriginal women come through and they need extra support, I will get contacted as well. And so I simply just going in the room and being with the woman, that's a big thing.
Just being
present with her. And that's a big thing in midwifery, is being with women. We say it a lot. Just being there with her and being a support for her. And she, I could see she greatly appreciated it.
Yeah.
Just to mirror what Rikisha and Trish have said, please just let me know how we can help so we can learn and grow together. That's my big message. When you tell me, we can help you.
Yeah, okay. Let's look at some of the contact numbers and people. Yeah, go on.
So we're actually looking for more Aboriginal volunteers through our Aboriginal volunteer program. So if there's any women that are interested in joining our program, you can contact the Aboriginal Senior Health Promotion Officer, and her number is 6458 1123. That's 6458 01123. Yeah.
When you mention volunteers, what sort of attributes you're looking for? If people are listening in, maybe they have some medical background as well.
Look, that would be handy, but I mean, I think there's no real, you know,
no
real
attribute.
Criteria.
It's about
yarning,
learning and yarning.
Connecting with people. Supporting women.
And also family support is really important too, as well. Getting families there to learn a little bit more about midwifery and what is involved in that. It's important to also educate not only the person there but the extended families, because we're going to have a whole lot of people at the in a ward. And I've recalled that many times where there's a whole lot of people in the ward, and they want to, sometimes it is a private process as well, but people want to know what's the stethoscope, what is it, what that's doing, and what they're going to, and teaching the other people around that extended group.
I can talk about a personal experience when my mum was quite unwell at the hospital. The hospital was very accommodating. We had about 20 family members in a meeting room. They do all they can to, bring in family.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's nearly time to go. It's really lovely talking to the whole lot of you. It's beautiful talking about this particular subject, and we can probably talk a little bit more on all this. And thank you very much, Rakesha. Thank you very much for coming into the radio.
You're welcome.
Do you want to do a shout out to anyone?
I don't know who's listening. Shout out to my daughters who are at school, but yeah, they shouldn't be listening.
And Trish, lovely having you on.
Thank you. Here. Thanks for having me.
And Heather, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And news time is in a moment, so thank you very much again. I think we've touched everything. We've touched all the.
We have.
Anything you need to mention, we can do that on another program.
Yes,
so
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're listening to 100.9 FM Perth, and we'll be Afternoons with Jeremy Garnett in a few moments. So stay with us right here at Noongar Radio. And as I mentioned too, this is the Health Matters. Now, if you have you'd like to ask a question or an answer or anything like that, send us on the email or address, which is info@noongarradio.com, or you can text us on 0448 211 86. It's right here on 100.9 FM Perth.